Welcome back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. Here we talk about all things Alabama baseball. Welcome back, gentlemen. Cooper, Austin, and myself, Brandon Mraz, back on the ones and twos. How's everybody's week been?
It's been good. Got a haircut today, as I was telling y'all before we recorded. So head is finally feeling light. You know, it doesn't drag everywhere I take it. So feeling good. How about you, Austin?
Pretty good, man. Rolling into this week. Excited about getting into the NCAA tournament, seeing how our basketball team does going into this opening first round, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's a different show. So let's talk some Alabama baseball from this last week. So to start off the week on Tuesday, Alabama took on South Alabama. And, man, what a game. Alabama gets the win 11-8 here in dramatic fashion. Cooper, take us through the dramatic ending to
South Alabama. I'd love to take you through it. I was one of the lucky few to actually go to this game, but I left early. It's a shame. I should have never left early. But we had news to produce in an hour, so I had to get on back, and I missed it. But, you know, it starts off pretty like a normal game. South Alabama had a 2-1 lead going into the top of the sixth, where they got three runs off a three-run homer, and they took a 5-1 lead. And I was thinking, oh, it's going to be one of those games. You know, this will be one of the midweeks we drop. But we battle back in the bottom of the seventh, get five runs of our own, go up 6-5. Thinking this is all great. Next half inning, South Alabama takes the lead again with three runs of their own. It's now 8-6. And it's like, this game is crazy. What's going on? But in the ninth, everybody just doing what they got to do. Denton reached on an error to bring someone home and keep the bases loaded for Diodati, who was 2-for-2 with the bases loaded, both being home runs, and he made it 3-for-3 with a home run. It is third grand slam of the season and won the game in dramatic fashion, as you said, 11-8. So really long recap for a game that was a week ago, but it was just so exciting that we had to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the better walk-offs we've had. Owen Diodati, just everything was there. I mean, obviously, the comeback was amazing. Dio hit being able to go 3-for-3 now for with grand slams. But, you know, the call by the announcer, it was all great. Like, everything was there. It was just a great win. You know, it showed that we don't have quit, and that's definitely what I liked about this game. Even to a team like South Alabama, it's sometimes you're having off days. But keep swinging the bat and keep playing well, you can definitely win some games no matter what. But that being said, next we went played a home game with Jacksonville State. 5-7 at the time Jacksonville State came in. Connor Shamblin on the mound. Austin, take us through the Jacksonville State game and how the Crimson Tide fared.
I will tell you guys, man, it's exciting for me. I always like to call out these pitchers that we come in and get and see good starts from in the midweek, and, you know, guys that we can kind of work in beyond that three-man rotation that we've got going on so far on the weekend. And I'd really love to see Connor Shamblin's performance in this, you know, hit a career high six innings, struck out six, and, you know, just a really strong showing from him in the midweek. And, you know, really came out strong, getting two runs in the second inning, four runs in the fourth. You know, this game was never really in doubt. Had one inning, one run scored by Jacksonville State in the fifth, another run by the Gamecocks in the seventh. But just really with that performance from him, I mean, you know, Shamblin really only giving up, you know, I mean, like showing just a great dominant performance on the mound and just really, you know, giving us a little bit of depth in the rotation and kind of what we can see going forward. I mean, you know, we had a lot of offense in that game as well. You know, Zane Denton, definitely a guy that we can look for. And also Hammeter finishing really good 3-5 on the plate in all his appearances. I mean, you know, just a really strong overall midweek performance for us.
Yeah, this was another one of those games for the Crimson Tide where the long ball didn't win it, but the small ball did. And that's also great to see, especially paired with that Shamblin outing. So I 100% agree with you, Austin. This was a great win for the Crimson Tide. Unfortunately, moving to Friday, Alabama started their home series with Stetson. And Stetson came in and dominated Alabama. You know, their pitcher, Nick Durgin, just, I mean, no hits through eight innings. And then in the ninth, he ended up giving up two runs and two hits. But this kid was a stud, and they outplayed us in this game. I'm not really worried about it. You know, I just think this was another off game for us. It happens. You drop games. And especially when someone that talented and someone performing like that is on the mound against you on the other side, it's just really tough to get a win. So it was unfortunate that we lost that one. You know, did anything stand out to either of you guys about this loss that worried you, or was it just a kind of, hey, they were the better team that day, they got the win?
It was they were the better team that day, they got the win. Tyler Rass, while he did get the loss and gave up, I believe, all four runs. He gave up all four runs. Not a bad outing, I would say. Five innings, only three hits given up. The four runs is a little concerning, but not a terrible outing. So it's just one of those days where your bats aren't swinging, so you're going to lose a close one, 4-2, that's low scoring. So it's just one of those games, you know.
Yeah. Austin, what did you think?
Kind of building off that, you know, what you're saying, Cooper, I think it was a good showing by Raz. I mean, you know, we had – four errors committed, you know, only one of those runs was allowed. And so it really, you know, I think it was kind of a little bit misstep of just failing defensively as well, you know. And also I thought it was good, you know, we came up with two runs in the ninth. You know, there was fight in the team. It wasn't a shutout, you know, it was good to see those two runs scored in the ninth. And you know, there was definitely a fight in the team. You know, we didn't give up. And I think that was really good to see as well.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Listen, this team doesn't give up, that's for sure. We've seen that all year. So, you know, sometimes you're going to lose just because the other team puts the better guys out there, and that's just what happened. So, but luckily for the Crimson Tide, they came back on Saturday, and they got a 4-3 well-earned walk-off victory once again. Cooper, why don't you take us through what happened on Saturday?
I'm going to bounce it to Austin.
He was, my bad. Yeah, you're right, Austin. Sorry.
I'll take Sunday, but I'm going to take Austin, who unfortunately had to stay there for all 12 innings. Now, it was still only a three-hour game, but I bet towards those extra innings, Austin, you were like, come on, let's go. I got other stuff.
Oh, it was great to see, though. You know, guys, I love every second of Dylan Smith that I can see on that mound. So, you know, we go through the first inning scoreless. Second inning is really where our bats started moving. Stetson led off with a run in the top of the second, and then Alabama led with three in the second. Also, I mean, kind of after that second inning, you know, you kind of started to get the feeling this was going to be a high-scoring, high-paced game, but that really didn't continue on through. I mean, Dylan Smith had a really good showing on the mound, career highs in a lot of different things. I'll touch on a little bit in a moment. But Stetson gets two runs in the fifth, and that really winds up the rest of regulation. And we get tied 3-3 going after the ninth, and then we make it all the way to the 12th when Alabama scores a walk-off bunt to win the game. You know, kind of we had a runner in score position, and, you know, it just kind of the typical thing. You're going to bunt to try and move that runner forward, and the pitcher throws a inerrant ball, and we kind of get the win from there. And, you know, we'll take it however we can. Dylan Smith, you know, just excellent performance, career high, eight innings, could have went nine. He was just over 100 pitches, you know, trying to get him out of the game. Only allowed three runs and had a career high tying 10 strikeouts. You know, it's really a good, strong performance from him. And also from Chase Lee, came into the ninth and brought us all the way through the 12th. Also a season long of four innings and a scoreless showing from him as well. I mean, just an excellent pitching performance when I've seen, and then just a great showing from the Crimson Tide to get that win in extra innings.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting what you say about Chase Lee, because that's a guy that we normally hear goes maybe 1 to 2 innings, you know, typically our closers. So to see Chase come out and go four, nonetheless throw four scoreless, you know, that's really impressive to see. I agree with you. Dylan Smith was amazing, and definitely was an exciting way to end it. I'm sure the stadium was rocking with that sacrifice bunt walk-off.
Oh, yeah. Good to see.
Yeah. And now, Cooper, as I messed up our who was going to what game schedule, we're moving to Sunday, but Cooper's going to take us through the Sunday game against Stetson.
Yeah, so we had Antoine John on the mound, and he did really well. He went 6 innings. I think only gave up like 3. Yeah, he gave up 4 hits, 3 runs off those. Gave up an early run in the first inning, but kind of calmed down after that. 7th inning was a big inning, just all around Alabama Athletics. So, third inning, I think I meant to say. Third inning, yeah. 7 runs in the bottom of the third inning. Batted around, but also during that rally, when we had only had 5 runs cross the plate, our PA guy comes on the announcer, announces that Alabama basketball has beaten LSU and won their first SEC tournament championship in like 30 years. So just an overall great 30 minutes at the Joe. You know, you're scoring a lot of runs, your basketball team's winning too. Like, things were feeling good, and the baseball team really fed off that energy as they scored 2 more runs to make it 7-1 after 3. And then they just cruised there, got 2 in the bottom of the 8th to give us our final score of 9-4. So overall, good performance. The one thing that, if I had to nitpick and find something with this team, was we left a lot of guys on base. Over the 8 innings, we left 9 guys on base. Sometimes it was like 2 at a time. You know, we'd have runners on 1st and 2nd or even 2nd and 3rd. And we strike out or ground out to end the inning. So, you know, little bitty thing, itty bitty nitpicking thing, because we did end up getting 9 runs this inning, but we left 9 guys on base as well. So that's something we might want to tighten up as SEC play gets underway.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is a good win for the Tide. Pretty dominant. I am really starting to like the Antoine John and Jacob McNary combination to get through pretty much 8 to 9 innings. I think those two pair very well, just because of kind of how different they throw the baseball and kind of the different stuff they have. So I'm really liking that combination to get us through games, and it seems to be working, as you know, we've been pretty dominant on Sundays. So and yeah, like you said, batting around, that was quite a sight for the Crimson Tide. This was a very good win. And one that'll propel us into next week. So, and speaking of next week, we will be back on part 2, talking about the upcoming week for the Crimson Tide and their start to SEC play this weekend. So stick around. We'll be right back with the Right Field Roundtable podcast.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We're looking ahead for the Crimson Tide's upcoming week as we venture into SEC play for the first time on this podcast. Guys, are we excited? This is a big week. Big week. We did not get to this point last year, so, you know, this is big for us.
Definitely. Definitely excited to get to SEC play. It's been almost 2 years since we've gotten to play an SEC team. And, you know, 2 years ago, we were all right, but we weren't good. And then last year, we had such a hot start, and we didn't get to see that team play any tough SEC competition. And I feel like we've only gotten better this year. So it's good to see that test finally coming through. You know, we get to see if we're as good as we think we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely very exciting. So as we venture in, we have one little stop in Troy, Alabama. We play Troy on March 16th at 6 p.m. Austin, you're always a big fan of these in-state rivalry games. So take us through this upcoming game with Troy and what your thoughts are on this.
For sure, guys. Big fan of the in-state games, and also got to say a big fan of the road in-state games. I think it's always good. You know, it's very easy for us to come up to these games at the Joe on Tuesday or Wednesday and kind of shut it out, you know. But to really be able to have to take that road trip and really get in that mindset of playing an away game, I think can really add a little bit of stress to the team that, you know, can really make these games a little beneficial. So definitely going into this game on Tuesday in Troy, Alabama, you know, we played them a little while back, you know, and won the game 9-1. So, you know, we're definitely on paper better than this team, but I feel like it's just, again, really good to get in on Tuesday. We're going to that before our first real SEC test, and it's definitely a test against Arkansas. Just, you know, we're really going to be able to get some guys in. I think it's going to be a good warm-up game for us going into Friday's competition and really see that if we can work out a little bit of kinks before we go into that road series.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's, you know, really important for us to get some kinks out, especially having, like you said, a SEC road series. So this will be good for the Tide. Let's get some score predictions on this game. Austin, we'll go back to you for the start.
So I'm kind of going to predict a little bit of low ball here. I know Troy's known for, you know, high performance offense. I think we've definitely shown we can move the bats at times, but I think there's going to be a little bit of a lull going into this midweek road game. I'm going to say 4-1 Alabama.
Okay. Yeah. I like that one. Cooper, what are you thinking for the Troy game?
Our last time we played them March 3rd, we won 9-1. I'm going to go similar, go 10-1. I think we're a little better than we were start of March.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go kind of on the same length, but I think Troy's going to get a little bit more here. Something to do with their home stadium, you know, being on the road. So I'm going to take Alabama winning this one over Troy 6-3 in a tight contested game very early, but the Tide take the lead somewhere around the fifth inning and don't look back from there. And then, you know, we don't have a second midweek game this week. We head right to Fayetteville to take on the red-hot Arkansas Razorbacks. Cooper, what are you thinking for this series, just as an initial start?
Initially, I think our pitching needs to be on point. I think whoever's starting it, whether that's Prelip, John, Ross, or Smith, whichever of those four who seem to be getting the most of our starts, whichever three of those four get to play, they need to be on fire from the get-go, because Arkansas, they score a lot. They're going to jump out at you, and they're going to jump out early, and their pitching is also pretty tough. So if we can match their pitchers inning for inning with low production, I like our chances as the game gets later.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think our pitching definitely is going to be big just because of how aggressive and dominant they have been on the offensive side of the ball. You know, they're playing really well. I'm not as worried about our offense. I think we can get, you know, the bats going when we need to, but like you said, I think the pitching is going to be a big factor in this series. I honestly don't think it'll be our starting pitching. I think the biggest factor is going to be coming from the bullpen. Just because I think with these two teams, they're going to be able to score on each other. And once you have that lead, you're going to want to hold on to that the entire game, because it's going to be very difficult to keep a lead with these two teams. So I think the bullpen is going to be extremely important in this series. And awesome.
Definitely to your point, Brandon, you know, we're talking about, we've had career high performances from a lot of these guys, you know, Dylan Smith, especially, you know, basically setting career highs every time he's on the mound. It's going to be a lot more difficult for us to get those kind of performances from our pitchers playing in these true SEC, you know, tough games. You know, we're not going to see a lot of these pitchers able to go 6-7 innings. It's really going to depend more on the bullpen, to your point, for sure.
Yeah. So
looking at the Arkansas stats, and I think I can predict the three pitchers they're going to send out against us this weekend. Just looking at innings pitch, we're probably going to face Peyton Pallett, Zebulon Vermillion, which is a great name, Can't wait. It's to
fantastic.
Play. And Label Lockhart. And those guys each have an ERA. Pallet has an ERA of 2.08. Vermillion has an ERA of 2.60. And Lockhart has an ERA of 3. So definitely some tough pitchers we're going to be going up against this weekend.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. You know, Lockhart looks like a dominant pitcher, already having 22 strikeouts on the season, just as well as Pallet with 31. So, yeah, these guys are going to be tough. Listen, these guys are definitely going to be tough. We knew that coming into SEC play. We are, you know, fairly not used to SEC play with the 2-year hiatus, but I think we'll be ready. So with that being said, let's get into some predictions because this is where it gets real. So Cooper, we'll start with you on the Friday game, 6 p.m. Fayetteville, Arkansas.
I think the Friday game, I think we take it. I think we throw Prelip on the mound. You put him up against any of those three I just mentioned, I think Prelip gets the win. I think Diodati and Wilson and Hameter come in clutch, all three of them come in clutch, and we win that game 4-2.
All right, I like that. Austin, what do you think?
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. I think a good point showing on this one is that so Arkansas actually plays Oklahoma in their midweek game on Tuesday. So, you know, not coming in with a easy contest leading into the week. So I think we're able to slide in on Friday and take one from them. I'm going to go 5-4 Alabama.
All right, I like it. Unfortunately, I'm not on the same sentiment with you guys. I think the Friday game, the Crimson Tide drop with Tyler Raz on the mound, it's going to be close. It's going to be contested very close. It's going to be 4-3 finish. But unfortunately, Tyler Raz in the bullpen are not able to contain the Razorbacks for the first game. So 4-3 loss for the Crimson Tide. But don't worry, Tide fans. More good news to come from my predictions in the next two games. But Cooper, Saturday, 6:30 p.m. back at it in Fayetteville. What do we think?
I think we're flipping our Friday and Saturday games because I have Roz on the mound on Saturday, and I don't think we get it done. Nothing against Roz. I just think our Saturday games have been our weakest ones so far this season, and he just happens to be the pitcher on the mound during those times. So I'll go exactly the same score just on Saturday. I'll go 4-3. Ross gained the loss, which is terrible, but we'll pick it up for Sunday.
Sounds good. Austin.
Looks like I'm attaching my predictions to Cooper, so we'll see if that turns out to be a good or a bad thing. I think I'm going to predict a fall on Saturday, guys. I think we've shown in our past that that's definitely a capability. You know, definitely showing a lot less offense performance on the Saturday games. And especially this will be really one of our first tests of a late evening Saturday game as well. I think we're going to drop this one. I think the Razorbacks are really going to perform well in this game. I'm going to go 5-1 Arkansas.
All right. So I guess I'm going to go opposite of you guys once again. Saturday for me, I got Dylan Smith on the mound and he's going to hold Arkansas scoreless. And he's going to go 8 innings again or 7, one of the two. He's going to be right in there. But then we're going to bring Chase Lee in to finish it out. And those two are going to hold the Hogs scoreless. And Crimson Tide will get a 4-0 victory on Saturday evening. And then moving into Sunday, gentlemen. Cooper, what do we got for Sunday?
Stop reading my mind and calling it early. Sunday is when Dylan Smith starts. And I don't know if we hold them scoreless, but I do think we get the win. I think we get the meatloaf. And I'll go ahead and say 5-3, Dylan Smith with the win, Brock Guffey with the save.
I like it. I like it. Austin?
I'm lining up with Cooper. You know, we're lining up. It's going to be do or die time this weekend. I got to agree. I think Dylan Smith is going to come in on Sunday. I don't think he's going to be able to have the chart-topping performances he's had in these lesser games, but I do think he's going to be able to hold on. Guffey's going to come in, and they're going to be able to get us through this win. It's just a matter of how close is it going to be. So I'm going to say 6. I'm going to say 6-6 in regulation, and Alabama's going to pull it out in extra innings 7-6.
All right. I have Antoine John, Jacob Neri, and Guffey all coming in this game, holding the Hogs to two runs as the Crimson Tide soar once again on Sunday to an 8-2 victory off the backs of Owen Diodati and Zane Denton.
I like it. That's a good prediction.
I just think with those three combination on the mound, I think we can get some really good defense off of that. And we've been red hot on Sundays, especially with the two guys I mentioned in Zane Denton and Owen Diodati. I think this is how the Crimson Tide win. We get the win of the series, and we start out SEC play being 2-1. So with that being said, guys, that is the upcoming week for the Crimson Tide. We are at SEC play. And funny, we mentioned SEC play because when we return, we will be discussing all things that happened in the past week around the SEC and kind of give you a look for all the teams heading into SEC play this next week. So stick around and we'll be right back with the Right Field Roundtable podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Folks, to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We are now talking all things SEC as we are 1 week away from all SEC teams venturing into conference play. So we'll start on Tuesday, March 9th. This was almost a complete sweep of SEC wins, except for one, being the number 13th ranked Tennessee Volunteers getting beat 9-0. To Charlotte. Guys, what happened to the Volunteers?
You can attribute that to just one of those games. I know that is a game where just, at least me personally, would be chopping at the bits to just roast Tennessee for. I have done that to other teams in the past. Obviously, it's just one of those games. They gave up 15 hits to a Charlotte. You know, sometimes it's going to happen. It's one of those midweek games. You throw all your freshmen in there. That's going to happen. It's embarrassing, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. You know, we have those games. Other teams have those games. Everybody has those games. It's baseball. You don't win every game. Like, being undefeated in baseball doesn't happen. It's going to, you know, you're going to have bad losses. It is what it is. You know, that's kind of what happens when you play 50 plus games in a season. We'll kind of move past that as after what was a pretty big Tuesday for the SEC, pretty much everyone winning. We move into Wednesday, March 10th. You know, a lot of good games around the SEC here. You know, this is another sweep of a day for the SEC, obviously sharpening it up. Did anything stand out to you guys on Wednesday?
Texas A&M beating Prairie View 22-2. That's incredible. I mean, we were amazed at our, I believe, 21 runs last week. And here Texas A&M shows us up with a 22-2 win and 22 runs off 14 hits. So that means maximizing at-bats, getting walks. Because Prairie View only had three errors. So that is just a lot of walks and, you know, just being lucky at the plate and being able to cash those in. So Texas A&M, big day for them on Wednesday. And as I was checking the standings, as of today, they've won 10 in a row. So this would have been like win 7 in a row. So as we keep going throughout this SEC segment, it'll be another win for Texas A&M. So might look out for them.
Yeah, Austin, did anything stand out to you on anything else stand out to you on Wednesday? Or
definitely noticing, guys, I guess I got to say I'm on the Gamecocks bandwagon, seeing South Carolina perform on Wednesday at 11-0 at this point in the season, bringing it out against the Citadel 11-7. You know, to be able to score 11 runs on 9 hits, you must be doing something right. And just, you know, to see the Gamecocks moving forward, I think they've got a real chance in the East of the SEC this year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. That was definitely something I noticed. You know, South Carolina isn't going anywhere. So it's going to be well contested. So now as we move into this weekend, we had a big matchup be postponed with number 2 Vanderbilt versus number 14 Oklahoma State. But we'll get to more of that in the next couple of days when we walk through this. But a lot of, you know, we're starting to see a lot of SEC teams ranked. Obviously, we hold the top, I believe it's 3, maybe. We definitely have the top 3 in the conference with Arkansas 1, Vandy 2, and Mississippi State 3. Oh, no, we have the top 5. Sorry. Ole Miss 4, and then Florida being the 5th team. So SEC is no joke. The SEC did go off this weekend once again, except for Florida. And that's what stood out to me. Jacksonville beating Florida 10-9. You know, nothing really crazy about this game. Obviously, Florida falls. It's one of those games. They lost 10-9. You know, they had 4 errors, and that's where the mistakes were, and that's why the number 5 team in the country fell. Anything stand out to you guys other than that Florida game?
I was going to talk about that game too. I'm going to chalk it up to just one of those games. You know, you're not playing sharpest. You give up 4 errors, and that's the difference of 1 run. And, you know, Jacksonville came away with the win. And so proud to see the home city Dolphins, you know, J-Town pretty well against Florida and beating the number 5 team. But this is by no means an indicator of what that Florida team can do. They are going to be dangerous. And luckily, we don't have them scheduled for their season this year. So we will have to meet up with them in the tournament.
Yeah, definitely good to see that number 5 team. You know, with our schedule already having the top 4 teams in the country, might as well keep that number 5 team off of it, right?
Yeah.
Austin, anything stand out to you on Friday night?
Guys, I'm looking at the Kentucky-Georgia State game, just the whole weekend especially. Kentucky pulls out the series sweep. They went on Friday 16-1. So, I mean, you know, Kentucky's definitely moving the bats. It'll be interesting to see how they move into SEC play. They've got Missouri coming up this weekend. It's probably going to be a good series for them. Interested as well to see how Kentucky does moving forward through the rest of the SEC.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. You know, we have talked about this on this show about Kentucky being that kind of sneaky team in the East that not everyone talks about, just because there is so much firepower in that side of the conference. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. And like you said, definitely progress this weekend. We move into Saturday, and man, there were a lot of good games this weekend with these SEC teams, a lot of good wins. But I wanted to go to the matchup that got postponed. And I believe they played a doubleheader.
They did.
Yep. So Vanderbilt played Oklahoma State, 14th team in the country, Vanderbilt being number 2. They get a 5-0 win to start the day and then come back out and beat Oklahoma State 18-4. You know, to drop that many runs, especially in a doubleheader, in the second game of a doubleheader against the 14th team in the country. I mean, we've talked about it. Vanderbilt's probably the best – one of the best, if not the best team in the country. And man, they are showing it right now.
I am just terrified to play this Vandy team. You know, I think we can stand a chance against Arkansas. Vandy straight up scares me right now. You know, like the last segment, I predicted we're going to meet Loaf Arkansas. I would be praising the heavens if we get one game on Vandy.
Right now. You're absolutely right. Did anything stand out to you, Cooper, on Saturday?
I'm going to highlight the Aggies again. A&M beating Samford 21-4. That's 2 20-plus run games in the span of about 4 days. And the Aggies are for real. They're one of the unranked teams in the SEC, but, hey, they're for real, and they're going to cause some problems. So just look out for them, you know.
Yeah. The Aggies also came back and beat Samford again in their doubleheader 5-2. So definitely a good weekend for them as well. Austin, did anything stand out for you on that Saturday?
So coming back to the Gamecocks, mentioned earlier in this week, you know, seeing how they would move, go moving forward. They dropped the game on Saturday to Texas 3-0. This was our other top 25 matchup in the SEC this weekend. And so they actually, South Carolina actually wound up dropping all three of these games to number 19 Texas over the weekend. It'll be interesting to see if this is an indication of them moving forward or if this is just a fluke weekend as they go into SEC play. I think it's definitely a telling sign of just, you know, seeing an SEC team go up against a good team outside of our conference and, you know, seeing them lose three games, not necessarily a great sign, but see if they can turn it around as they play Vanderbilt this coming up weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting for South Carolina and definitely going to be interesting to see if they can get themselves right before that big series this weekend. And now we move into Sunday, and the theme for Sunday was, boy, how the mighty have fallen, because, man, did a bunch of them fall. We'll start off with what I saw in our opponent going into next weekend. Louisiana Tech beats number one Arkansas to give them their first loss 2-0. Listen, like we said before, it's baseball. It's going to happen. You're going to lose games. I don't think this is necessarily an indicator for Arkansas as a whole. However, it does give me a lot more confidence going into that Sunday game, you know, seeing them kind of struggle in their last Sunday games and then finally drop one on Sunday and just how well we've been playing on Sundays. This definitely excites me for that Sunday game in our series. But did anything else stand out to you, Cooper?
Yeah, I'm going to highlight LSU, and this is going to be kind of a two-for-one, not because they played a doubleheader, but because I want to talk about their Saturday game, too. LSU got to win, or swept the series, yeah. They won all three games against UTSA, so Texas San Antonio. But it's how they won that I want to highlight. You know, Friday game, 3-1 victory, regular baseball score. Saturday, 10-9 victory in 13 innings. And then Sunday, 13-12 victory in 11 innings. So what I'm seeing is LSU, they can swing the bat and they can hit the ball as hard as they want and whenever they want. Their defense is not there. And that excites me for the season, for our series against LSU. We were talking last week how if they were a meme, they'd be the Michael's Scott snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. They weren't flip-flopping this weekend, but they just weren't playing defense. So I'm ready. I'm going to play LSU now. You know, I think we can just dominate and maybe even sweep LSU. So that's the thing. They got to sweep this series this weekend, but they are one-run extra inning games that were really high-scoring.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you there. We're seeing more of the LSU, you know, flip-flopping. And I agree with you. I think they're, you know, I did get to catch some of this UTSA series, and their pitching is definitely their Achilles heel. They can't get their defense right now. But they get these wins because, like you said, they can swing the bats like crazy. So, It'll definitely be exciting to play them and see if they can kind of turn themselves around, you know, in that time. So I want to swing it over to Austin now and see what stood out to him on the final Sunday before SEC play.
Looking at the Georgia Bulldogs, so came up and played Lipscomb this weekend, got the sweep, won all three games. The Sunday game I feel like was pretty telling. It was a 3-2 win in extra innings, wound up in the 12th. I think it was just a really good game for Georgia to come in and really show their ability over adversity. You know, their coach kind of talked about that in their interview after the game, of them really being able to work through that series. So what happened, I mean, they go into the 12th, a single puts somebody on first base. They intentionally walk a freshman to bring up junior Connor Tate to the plate. Connor Tate delivers and brings off a walk-home single. I think, you know, just really them being able to go through a game where they're getting tested by these lesser opponents is probably going to help them as they get into the SEC play of, you know, having some of that small ball mentality and having some of those in-game situations already work out as opposed to other teams who are playing games with a lot bigger margins.
Yeah. You know, you're definitely right with that. We talk about that all the time here with Alabama, and we always love to see those small ball wins. And conversely, it's the same with Georgia here, seeing them kind of get that experience with a smaller team as well. One thing I did want to point out before we did go, Vanderbilt did lose to Oklahoma State on Sunday. Once again, you know, we talk about it all the time. This is one of those days. But this is another thing for me where I'm really excited to see how these kind of teams match up with Alabama, because the struggle games for these teams come on Sunday, and Alabama has been very dominant on Sunday. So, like you said, Cooper, we are a little scared to play Vanderbilt. I get it. But, hey, Sunday might be a good day for us.
Sunday might be a good day, and it'll be a fun game to watch. I'll be scared out of my mind, but it'll be a fun game to watch. And just got put out there, lastly, but just one last thing. Vandy, best uniforms in the SEC.
Oh, coldest uniforms in the SEC by far.
Yeah, best uniforms. All black with white pinstripes. Not a big pinstripes fan in the major league, but I think it works on Vandy.
Yeah, I mean, nothing can beat those classic major league navy blue championship pinstripes, trust me. But the black and white pinstripes are psyched to see in college baseball, and probably one of the better uniforms I've seen in a while.
Yes.
But we'll make sure we have this maybe for March we'll do a little bracket challenge with the best college baseball uniforms, because I'm sure we can find a bunch of those out there, especially my favorite baby blues that Cooper just can't.
Oh, I'm not a fan of the baby blues.
You know, especially with you two, I'm surprised neither of you like the baby blues, considering you're a Rays fan and Austin is Austin's a Braves fan. They both incorporate those baby blues in theirs, so I'm really confused.
It is a blasphemy for any other person other than the great Dale Murphy to wear the baby blues.
Here's the asterisk. Baby blues don't look good with red, which is what Ole Miss does with them.
Okay.
Blue does look good on a Sunday with a nice dark blue on it, some yellow. That looks good. But baby blue and red is not my favorite color combination. Might be even one of my least favorite color combinations.
Fair enough. Well,
later.
Listen, we'll do a little research, and maybe we'll get Cooper's famous Twitter poll brackets with some college baseball jerseys this week. So right field roundtable fans, be on the lookout for that on Cooper's Twitter. We'll definitely be promoting that and voting in that, because I don't know about you, but the Rocky series for me, I'm keeping it going strong. I'm trying to keep it going strong in that bracket.
Yes. Thank you for doing that for our student section best sports movie podcast or best sports movie tournament. Rocky franchise hanging by a thread. It's Brandon's vote that pushes it every week, because it's always tied with somebody, and it made the final four. So we'll see if it can get past Sandlot on Wednesday.
I will have to say, though, best sports movie of all time, Miracle on Ice. Can't beat it.
Can't beat it. Unfortunately,
cannot beat it.
Past the first round.
I know. I know. But with that being said, this has been the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. We want to thank you so much for listening. We'll be here next week trying to digest the SEC conference starting to play this weekend. So thank you for listening. This has been the Right Field Roundtable Podcast.